Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Thank you for tuning in. We are so glad you're here. After exploring relationships with ourselves last week, we are continuing this week with relationships, but this time it is with others. We established last week that love and compassion were key to building a healthy relationship with yourself. But since none of us are islands, and we are interdependent, which means we are not dependent or independent. Interdependent just means that, yes, we have needs and we need others to provide the needs. But the issue we have is that we get dependent on a person to provide our needs, or we get independent on a number of people to provide our needs. And our needs can be provided by other people who we may not even consider. So if we are unable to manage effective and healthy relationships, no matter how smart we are not going to get very far in life. In a world where the needs...
I said, you don't think so?
No, I don't believe so. I believe that we will be hindered in many ways because since we are interdependent, we do need each other. We just don't need a specific person.
It's so
we
funny
get caught
that you
up
say
in
that.
A specific person, you know, like I need him or I need, you know, them or, you know, and we don't expand ourselves.
I agree with you. In fact, in my humble opinion, relationships are oftentimes incredibly messy. And I think they're messy because we're challenged on so many different levels, right? There's the interaction with the other, the relationship you have with yourself, the how you were formed, and you're going to talk about that in a moment, I think. But I think a great deal of it is tied to our expectations. You know, we expect people to be a certain way when we're in relationship with them, to treat us a certain way. And when they don't respond, we feel hurt or pain. Plus, we have emotions that are tied up in our relationship so that, you know, it's easy to miscommunicate when we're communicating through our emotion and we expect people to know us or understand us. Or like you said, we're needy as well. We bring all of that stuff, and we don't even know all that stuff is there.
We sure don't, because we're so let's talk about what a relationship is, right? Oftentimes, it's like you said, Perletta, it's like we've learned a certain way to be in relationships. So if you consider, like, is it a transaction of convenience for many of us? Maybe certain relationships are a transaction of convenience, or is it a transaction of needs? Or is it one of desires? Or is it truly a bond of love? And we could have all of these, really. But just think of a close relationship. And did the relationship come about because of needs or a bond? Is it because of a bond that people will share common needs? Or is it because of needs that people become bonded? So we can take the example of an arranged marriage versus a love marriage. Okay, in an arranged marriage, it's like, okay, as long as your needs are met, you will learn to bond. I mean, I had an arranged marriage myself. And no, that did not work. And then versus a love marriage, which means that, you know, you become bonded because of your attraction to somebody. And then you just trust that your needs will be met. I mean, that can work, and sometimes that doesn't work either. So as you can see, marriages or relationships are very complex. Not only relationships with significant others. Here we're talking about all relationships with bosses, with acquaintances, with, you know, whoever. So where do we learn about relationships, Perletta? Like you said, we learn. Mm-hmm. That's how we were brought up.
I think most of us learn from our familial beginnings. And it's so important to have bonding, right, in our families and love and support. But most of us don't get 100% of what we need. And some of us, I'd say most of us grew up with some form of dysfunction. So when we have early beginnings where we learn about love and attachment from our family members and we don't get all that we need to feel whole, that's a part of how we develop a sense of longing. You know, some of us may feel empty, or we may, like you say, depend on others to fill us because we don't feel full. So our relationships with our families are instrumental in how we form and norm our own sense of what relationships mean.
Right. So this really starts a pattern of how we associate our needs, our desires, expectations in how we relate to others. So for example, when I came from India, I was just 7 years old and I didn't know any English. So when I went to school, I was the only non-Caucasian person in the school. So not only was I different in that way, but I was also different in the sense that I couldn't speak any English. I couldn't understand what they were saying. So I just became shy and I would just stay real quiet and kids would make fun of me. And it was not a very pleasant time in my life. But what I started to do was I started to relate to older people for some reason. Like my friends would be like in their 70s because I felt like I could feel safe around them. So, you know, when we start to have relationships, we become very set in our pattern of relating, whether it's based on our fears or based on, you know, a desire, or we just have expectations. We figure this person will do more for us than this other person will. So in my relationships throughout my life, I've expected too much or not asked for what I needed in fear of rocking the boat. I've been competitive. I've been suspicious. I've been dependent. But through all of these experiences, I have learned about myself and I have learned that relationships are not easy. They mirror everything we feel about ourselves. That's what it is. Our relationships mirror everything we feel about ourselves.
I love what you're speaking to. The Course of Miracles talks about, you know, there is no out there. There's only your inner world that you project onto others. And in the context of relationships, that really makes sense because, you know, we have, as we discuss these expectations, this inner world of what we want and what we desire. And then we project it in our relationships. We want to see our heart's desire met by people outside of us. And in truth, no one really can fill, I say to my clients all the time, people can't fill your cup, your own cup. You need to be aware of what your cup is, because sometimes we can be confusing in our miscommunication and our emotionality. But the other piece is another person can't really fill your cup. And so we go shopping, you know, shopping for relationships, looking for that ideal person. One of my brothers growing up used to date one woman because of her face, and one woman because of her body, and one woman because of her intellect, and one woman because she could cook, and one woman, one woman because her house was clean. And it astounded me that he had these segmented pieces of each of the women that, if in his mind he put them all together, she'd be like the perfect person.
Oh, wow.
we all do that in a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
And I was going to say something about my relationships and where I have found challenges is it's just easier at times to relate to people who are like you. My challenge is when people are not like me, I oftentimes struggle because I'm in judgment about, like, what's wrong with them? Well, there's nothing wrong with them. They're different. And that hits on the expectation piece again, because my internal world is, it's easier if the person is like me. I get along with them. But when they're dislike me, right, they're not like me, I find them hard because it requires that I release my expectation and just be open to who they are without wanting something from them, even if it's just an easier way of communicating or being. And that just speaks to, I think, the complicated nature of relationships that we're discussing. So the question I'm sure you're going to get to, Raj, is how to make that way more simple and to improve the quality of the relationships that we have.
Absolutely. And Perletta, in relationships, it often feels like we're in bondage because we desire an outcome, okay? And we go towards a relationship, and as soon as you've given the power to somebody else to fulfill you, now you've just created bondage for yourself. Because any time your joy is dependent on something external, here is where the cycle of non-fulfillment starts. So is it possible to be detached from outcome and only give in relationship?
Oh, that is hard. I went to a workshop a number of years ago, and there was a powerful, really simple statement that was made that has stuck with me. Because a part of my expectation is I wanted the person to meet this, you know, near perfection. You know, you said that you expected too much. That was hard for me to hear because I was like, oh, I'd do that, or I have done that. And the facilitator said, in the relationship, will the person fail you? Yes. Will they disappoint you? Yes. And will they love you? You know, yes. And it was the first time that I got, disappointment is a part of it. It's not like there's this perfect thing I'm going to have necessarily. Disappointment and failing will be a part of it, and that's okay. It is, you know, determining where one's boundaries are and the give and take, and releasing some of that expectation to recognize that we're all human beings, so we're all doing the best that we can, and having more of that loving spirit of relaxing all of that and just being in flow, and when something doesn't suit me, you know, letting it go, and, you know, that give and take and back and forth is really what has made me much more peaceful in all of my relationships.
Perletta, it's pretty simple. If we want unconditional happiness, if that's our goal, then giving unconditionally is required.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what we do is when we give, we want reciprocation from the same person.
Absolutely. What am I getting? What have you done for me?
What am I getting? Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I did this, and now they're not doing anything. You know, I had a girl at work that would bake a cake baked a cake for my birthday, and I'm not big into birthdays, and I totally, like, I can't remember anybody's birthday, and I just failed to remember her birthday. Oh my goodness, she made such a huge deal. So this is what happens. We want reciprocation from the same person. And we don't understand that reciprocation is not what happens in relationships. It's going to come back to you somewhere down the line, but in its own time, from the different place. It could come from nature. It could come from, you know, sometime way in the future. Our job is just to keep giving unconditionally, because giving is what allows us to discover ourselves as well. So let's just talk about some basics for any healthy relationship, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's an intimate relationship. So the number one that we're going to do a whole show on this topic, is about maintaining boundaries. Okay, because as soon as we get close to somebody, boundaries can get fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
And in a relationship without boundaries, you can sometimes allow the other person to manipulate you into doing things that you don't want to do. And you basically act out of guilt instead of really honoring your needs. You let someone offend you without telling them how you feel about it. And the best way to ensure people treat you how you want to be treated is to teach them, is to let them know, you know what, this just didn't sit well with me. And
right.
tell them what's going on for you.
I love what you were just speaking to, because a little earlier when you mentioned it's about the, you know, love and being giving and not really expecting something in return, a part of me was like, that we're talking about healthy relationships. So certainly there are unhealthy relationships where people become self-sacrificing and they enable, and that, you know, there might be violence in the relationship. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about maintaining healthy boundaries. And when we're in healthy relationships, or in order to obtain a healthy relationship, it requires that we honor who we are first. We honor what our truth first. And if the person that we're in relationship with cannot honor our truth and respect us, then I tell my daughters this all the time, because I was always concerned they'd fall in love and end up in unhealthy relationships. And so I talk with them about being true to yourself and not being self-sacrificial, and that you do teach people how to treat you. And so if you allow them to treat you in a way that feels disrespectful to you, then you're teaching them that that's okay. And so you have to, as you said, educate them on what is and what is not okay. And sometimes if people may not like you establishing boundaries, or if you've been in a relationship for a while and you're wanting to reestablish boundaries because you've allowed yourself to go too far, they may not like the fact that you back them up a little bit. But sometimes you have to back people up. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. You do. And, you know, boundaries, like I said, we're going to do a whole show on this, Perletta. There's just so much here that we can say. The second thing I want to talk about is look at yourself for the problem first. When we are in relationship, when we get uncomfortable with something, the first thing is, you know, we want to blame the other person. When you feel unhappy with yourself, it's easy to blame the other person. This usually doesn't solve the problem, though, since you didn't actually address the root cause. So if your focus is on something they should have done, this is usually a clue that you need to take responsibility for the problem. So really look at what's going on for you first. And then the next one flows right into this. Are you projecting? So projecting refers to denying your own traits and then ascribing them to other people. For example, if you're not a trusting person, you may assume your friends are all out to get you. And it's a defense mechanism, and it allows you to avoid the discomfort of acknowledging your own weaknesses. And I agree, acknowledging your flaws is not fun. But if you don't, you'll continue seeing them in everyone around you. I mean everyone. You will find something wrong everywhere.
It's also important. It's why we started in the conversation with last week with the relationship with yourself, because if you actually have an awareness of who you are and how you feel and what your positive and negative traits are, you'll be less likely to engage in projecting. You'll be more likely to maintain your boundaries. And you'll be more likely to look at yourself first, because you're in tune with who you are, how you feel, and what you want. And when something's missing, the first inquiry will be with yourself to go, okay, I'm feeling angry and frustrated in this relationship. How can I take responsibility for myself and then for this relationship if I want to move it in another direction?
You know, I love what, you know, doesn't it always just come back to yourself? Doesn't it feel like it always comes back to yourself, Perletta? I'm glad we did the show. And if any of you listeners have not listened to the show from last week, make sure you go and get into the archives, because I think that will really give you an in-depth idea of what we're talking about when we say, you know, loving yourself. The next thing I want to talk about, and Perletta, you alluded to this earlier, is to really fill yourself up first. So go to the pump and fill yourself up. I wish it was that easy. But what I mean by this is that you are responsible for taking care of your own needs. So honor yourself and take care of whatever you need to do in order to get your needs met first. It is easy to get swayed and it's easy to feel obligated to do for someone else first, only to find out that you are full of resentment because now your needs are not met. And then we easily blame the other person.
Absolutely. Well, that's the self-sacrificing part. And there's no need to do that. And oftentimes the model that we see perpetuated, and particularly I'll say for women, you know, we're caregivers, quote unquote. We take care of everyone else. And sometimes it is easy to end up feeling a sense of resentment because, you know, we may be harboring desires of someone wanting someone, you know, our loved ones, our children, spouses, or whomever, to give us a little love back because we give so much. And it ties into the boundaries of sometimes we give without really thinking about the impact on ourselves. So it's incredibly important to take care of your own needs, for sure.
And the next one I love is giving people the benefit of the doubt. What we like to do is, you know, if we're projecting and our needs are not met, the first thing somebody does something or says something, to guard against us jumping the gun, it's better to give people the benefit of the doubt, okay? It's easy to doubt others' intentions, and we so quickly make assumptions. So let's say that Sarah was showing off her brand new car to hurt me, since I can't afford a car. So I say, okay, she did that just to hurt me because I can't afford a car. Okay, it has nothing to do with that. Generally, our friends and family want the best for us. And sometimes they get absorbed in their own problems because they're just as overwhelmed with life possibly than we are. So at these times, they may be hurtful and mean, but if this is not the norm, then forgiveness on your part may be in order. So giving them the benefit of the doubt. So does this mean that you're just going to allow somebody to keep abusing you and stealing from you? No. It just
Absolutely
means
not.
That just don't jump the gun, right, Perletta? It just means just give it time, see a pattern. If a pattern gets established, now you know how you can take care of yourself. Maybe it's a toxic situation. You just need to, you know, walk away from it.
Another way of looking at that is assuming a positive intent, right? It's not necessarily to assume that someone's trying to get you or do something to you when something happens. It's just assume a positive intent. Not only does that help you in the relationship with the other person, but it also can help shift one's own perspective from more pessimism to optimism.
I like that. Absolutely. So number six is, I know we're covering a lot here, but this is all important. Yes, you can be authentic even if you have to feel vulnerable. We are oftentimes so afraid of feeling vulnerable because we don't want to give our sense of power away, and so we just deal with the superficial sense of control. That's how we deal with our vulnerability. And vulnerability is often uncomfortable because we open ourselves up to possible judgment. However, vulnerability allows us to connect authentically and be ourselves. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and be vulnerable. When you express your feelings for someone else, when you're honest about yourself or your past, when you admit that you've made a mistake, these are all just ways of showing our vulnerability. It is easier, like I said, to blame.
Oh, sorry, Raj. We also, I think, tend to look at being vulnerable as a weakness. And what I believe now after working with this in my own life and with others is being vulnerable is a tremendous sign of strength because there takes a place of power within, A, to go deeply into one's truth, right? And then to express that truth, regardless of who you're around or what the circumstances are. The superficial way of, you know, covering up, you know, putting the mask on, we know how to do that. But to have depth in our own character and our own sense of what's right for us and what's wrong for us, and to communicate that, whether it's, you know, whatever it is a very powerful stance to take in your own life. I think if we could shift just that one way that we look at vulnerability as it being a place of power and strength versus weakness, it would have a tremendous impact. But and I'll say this and I'll stop talking about it because this is a topic I'm very passionate about. Oftentimes when we speak of being vulnerable, we're so concerned about how the other person is going to perceive us, right? We'll be perceived as being weak, or if we cry, or if we show emotion, or if we say we're sorry, people are going to think something about us. When the reality is, a true stance of power is being real with yourself. And it doesn't really matter what other people think if your focus is on what you think and how you feel. And, you know, standing in one's truth is an incredibly powerful place to be. And yet we struggle with that one. We struggle with that.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. What do you think about conflict, Perletta? Conflict is healthy. I know it's oftentimes hard to think that way. It's only healthy, though, as long as you confront. And I like to change that word confront to carefront. As long as you carefront compassionately and clearly.
Mm.
Because conflict is going to arise, and avoiding it only creates distance in the long run because there's something that's not being expressed. However, attacking the other person is going to create defensiveness and distance. So you may get caught up in either withholding or just becoming super aggressive, and you may get caught up in the right and wrong of the situation without really understanding each other. And the truth of the matter is that you likely both have good points, and you can both learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, here's what I'm going to say about that. And I'm going to use an example with my daughters, and particularly my eldest one. She didn't like me from about 12 until maybe 21. So for 9 years, there was a lot of conflict going on during her adolescence. And at the time, I heard of a female guru from India, and I went to see her give a talk. And she said something that helped me really to navigate those very difficult times with my eldest. And she said that your children are your gurus. And if you're willing to listen to them, they have a lot to teach you about yourself and how you show up. Because my daughter, we had conflict because she criticized me constantly. You know how adolescents can do that. And my parenting and my, you know, we had, in my opinion, a great relationship. And her name is Sai Ma. And Sai Ma talked about how, you know, as even as parents, having a humble spirit when we communicate with our children and listening to them. And it helped shift my way of thinking and being in relationship with my daughter, because instead of being defensive and thinking, I know I'm the parent, I really started looking at what she had to say from her perspective, and not, you know, the right versus wrong, but more how to be related. And that saying that, you know, we can either be right or we can be related, I took to heart, and I got out of the stance of being right, and I got into the stance of being related, and it completely changed our relationship. I used to tell her all the time, we're going to be great friends one day, and she'd say, I doubt we're ever, you know, going to be friends.
So what we've learned here, I don't mean to cut you off, Perletta, just in the interest of time, just relationships can be fulfilling, and at the same time, they can be challenging. They test our patience, our love, our determination, our toleration, maturity, and growth. The Dalai Lama said love and compassion are necessities. They're not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. So just remember this, okay? When you set out to find a friend, you often don't find one. When you set out to become a friend, friends are everywhere. Be sure to join us next week as we begin our two-part series on creativity. We are going to be talking about everyday creativity. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can contact us at Pearl Raj Radio, PearlRajRadio at gmail.com, and be sure to like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully. Stay tuned and stay empowered. See you next week.
Have a great week.